I'd like to once again encourage you to open your Bibles to the gospel reading. For my sermon this morning will be based upon this reading. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, as we consider our differences among each other, help us to better understand the love languages that you speak to us. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. During the Lenten season, our Sunday morning series is the love languages of God. Today, I want to speak to you about the love language of quality time. Now, it is Gary Chapman who has written a book, Dr. Chapman, who has written a book about relationships and about how people are different and how people speak five different love languages. And some have a primary and a secondary. Now, we are created in the image of our God and after His likeness. And it is our God who speaks five different love languages to us. Now, we may have a primary love language that we speak to others, but it's not necessarily the love language we like to hear from others. Let me explain by going through the five love languages. The first love language is words of affirmation. That's a language I love to speak because I speak from the pulpit and I speak about the love of God to all of you. But I like to say, hey, you're doing a good job. You look nice today. You can do this. I like to speak words of affirmation to people. Last week, I spoke to you about how God uses words of affirmation to speak to us. Remember, we held up the Bible, and last week I said, instead of the Bible I hold, let's say the love letter I hold. In the Bible, it is God who speaks to us. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Oh, that's good news. The Bible tells us it's by grace. Through faith you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, it's not what I do that gets me to heaven. It's what God has done for me. It's grace and faith. Oh, those words of affirmation. The second love language is the love language of quality time. Now, I have a granddaughter named Ari, and I can look at her and say, oh, you're so cute, you're so wonderful, you're the best. And she just, words of affirmation do not do anything for her. When I'm done or somebody's done, she says, Opa, I got an idea. Let's play Dancing Girls. Quality time is what she wants. Words of affirmation, quality time. And then there is the language of gifts. And I spoke about my wife, how she loves to give gifts. It's a primary love language. She also has a secondary of serving, of course. But if I try to give her gifts, it doesn't speak to her. The language she wants to hear, rightfully so, is acts of service. So there's the language of gifts. And then number four is acts of service. There are some people who just like to serve others. Martha in our reading. Some people are just really good at cooking, sewing, doing things for others. It's part of our DNA as Christians. Acts of service. Some people just love to volunteer for everything. And there are those who, no, acts of service. And then the fifth love language is physical touch. There are those we would look at and say, oh, they're just huggers. Wow. I want to tell you about my dad. My dad never hugged me. My dad never shared words of affirmation. I love you, Tim. I never heard that from my dad. But I was loved and I knew it because my dad spent quality time with me. My dad was always home. My dad was always home. He didn't go to the bar after work or go to the casino. He was with the family. He would take us camping. He would take my brothers and I fishing. He would spend quality time. And I knew I was loved. Well, God knows what language we need to hear. And God speaks those five love languages. And today, I want to talk to you about the love language of quality time with you. But to do that, we got to take a closer look at the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible. Open up that Bible once again to Luke chapter 10. Let's take a closer look at this story. Now, as they went their way, the disciples and Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She has the love language of service. Come into my house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She spoke the love language of quality time. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that your sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Martha is mad. Have you ever been mad at someone? Raise your hand if you've ever been mad at somebody. I got a question for you. Why? Two sisters in the same house serving the same Lord, and one is mad at the other. It's almost like a husband and wife living in the same house. One will get mad at the other. Why? Two people in the same church serving the same Lord, and one gets mad at the other. Why? I think if we take a step back, we understand, we're saying to the eagle, eagle, you should be more like me, the turkey. James tells us, the reason you quarrel and fight amongst you is because of your passions and desires inside of you. It's your sinful nature, he's saying. It is our sinful nature that says, you turkey should be like me. The eagle, I'm right, you're wrong. And here's a wonderful example of two people speaking different love languages, and one gets mad at the other. But it even goes so much further than that. What she does, she approaches Jesus and says, Jesus, do you not care? Wow. She doesn't approach Mary. She goes to Jesus and complains to Jesus. Does that sound familiar? The woman you gave me, the husband you gave me, the children you gave me, the friend you gave me, the pastor you gave me. She's mad at God. That's how you know if your sinful desires are ruling your life. You get mad at God. And you complain. And then she carries it a little farther. And folks, we do this. Tell her then to help me. Have you ever spent time in prayer to God and told him what to do? Change my spouse. Change my finances. Change my job. And God is saying, how about you? Should I change you? No, no, it's everybody else's fault. This past week, I went to David L. Moss. I went to visit somebody there. And after some small talk and some light tears, I asked how things going. And the person I was speaking to started talking about how mad they were at the police officers. And how mad they were at the district attorney and their own lawyer. And how mad they were at the judge. Looked around and said, nothing good can come from this. And I said, what? Everything good is coming from this. They looked at me like I was crazy. Said, what good? I said, number one, you're off drugs. You got a clear head and I can tell it. Number two, you're not dealing with drugs. Number three, you're drawing near to God. Number four, you're humbled. Number five, you're thinking right. Number six, you finally realize what's important in life, your family. And all of a sudden, the tears just drained uncontrollably from his eyes. God works for the good of all those who love him. The psalmist writes, and he draws near to those who need it. So God speaks to Martha, and he uses a love language that is not service. He could have snapped his fingers, feeding of the 5,000, there in the house. Martha could have sat back and done nothing. But he speaks a love language that Martha needs to hear. And maybe that's you this morning. Listen to what Jesus says to Martha. He doesn't say, well, you should be more like the eagle, Mary. No, he says, Martha, Martha. Now, whenever God speaks the name twice, it's very intimate. Abraham raised the knife. Abraham, Abraham, don't touch your son. Moses on the mountain. Moses, Moses, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Now, this ESV translation doesn't give it justice. Drop down to the page on the bottom and see what they say in the notes. Verse number three, you see the number three. This is the original language. Some manuscripts, few things are necessary. Martha, Martha, you're doing many things. Rightfully so. These things are necessary. I'm hungry. Mary's hungry. The disciples are hungry. We can smell the food. If you don't serve, we'll all go hungry. These things are necessary, Martha. Thank you for doing them. And she's going, oh. Words of affirmation. He speaks to Martha. But now to Mary, he speaks a completely different language. Mary has the gift of the language of quality time. And he spends quality time with Mary and teaches her. Jesus is speaking two love languages to two different people. Today I want to speak to you about the love language. God speaks of quality time. Have you ever met somebody who says, yeah, I read the Bible for 2 hours this morning? And you're going, I can't even read the Bible for 2 minutes. Have you ever met somebody who meditates so long with God and you're going, I can't do that? Think of a monk in a monastery. They spend their whole life in worship and reading the Bible, isolated in some monastery. Oh, you hear the funny one about the monk who took the vow of silence. He was only allowed 2 words every 5 years. Maybe you've heard this. After 5 years in the monastery, being alone, the bishop said, you're allowed 2 words. And he said, food cold. 5 years later, after 10 years, bishop says, you're allowed 2 more words. He says, bed hard. After 5 more years, 15 years, the bishop says, you're allowed 2 words. He says, I quit. Bishop says, doesn't surprise me. All you've done since you've got here is complain. I can't understand somebody locked away in a monastery. But for some people, that's the love language they love from God. Uninterrupted communion with God is not a burden. It's joyful. It doesn't cause a burden from them. It lifts a burden. You know who had that language and loved to hear it from God? Martin Luther. Now, he spoke the love language of affirmation. He wrote this small catechism, the large catechism, wrote hymns. How mighty fortress is our God. But you know what love language he loved to hear from God? Quality time. This is what Martin Luther says. I have so much to do today, I have to spend 3 hours in prayer to get it all done. That blows my mind, folks. But that was the love language. Now, throughout the Bible, it is God who speaks the love language of quality time to you and to me. Adam and Eve in the garden, in the cool of the day, God would walk with Adam and Eve. He created the earth in 6 days. The seventh day, he says, I want to give you, the human race, a 24-hour period to have quality time with me. It's called the Sabbath. The third commandment. God spent quality time with Noah, with Abraham. Abraham, he said, is my friend. Moses on the mountain. David, a man after my own heart. Elijah, alone in a cave, and God spoke to him. God would send prophets again and again in the Old Testament. A prophet was a person who spoke from God to the people. And then B.C. went to A.D. 2,022 years ago, Emmanuel, God, came to be with us for 33 years in person. And he gathered the apostles together, disciples, and he hung out with them for 3.5 years. And when he was with the disciples and things would get tough, he would go to a secluded place to be with them on a mountain or in a boat, and he'd teach them to pray. And when things got really tough for Jesus, He would go to that secluded, lonely place, the Garden of Gethsemane, and for 3 hours, he met with the Father and asked for the cup to be removed. Before Jesus went to the cross, the disciples were so worried about being alone. And Jesus said to the disciples and to every one of you, I will not leave you as orphans. The Father and I want to make our home with you and in you. So I'm going to send the Comforter, the Counselor, who is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Last week, words of affirmation, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope will never disappoint us. Words of affirmation. But then the language of quality time. Hope will not disappoint us because God has poured out His Spirit into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Quality time is a language that God speaks to us, but it may not be your language that you enjoy from God. It may be your language you like to give other people, but that's okay. We're different. Don't get mad. Step back, chill out. Just because somebody thinks differently and acts differently doesn't mean they're wrong and you're right. Now you understand why somebody might say to you, you know what church is for me? Taking a walk in the woods. Going fishing. Being alone. I have a brother, Doug. Many of you met him. He goes walking all the time. It may be 0 degrees in Minnesota. He's walking. And he always calls me. Why is he walking? Winter, summer, fall? In the winter, it's real short. It's too cold to talk. How you doing, Tim? But I know when he hangs up that phone and puts it in his pocket, he's talking to God. And in that alone time with God, he's asking God to bless me. I know my brother. That's how he is. Then I know he thinks about his wife and prays to God about his wife. Thanks God for his life. Why do I know that? Because I hear him all the time talking to God when I'm right there. When we're in the little truck together. It's a three-way conversation between my brother and I. Me, the Lord, and him. And he talks to the Lord, and I'm right there. It's quality time. Listen to what Jesus, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Be still, and know that I am God. Now, this is not the last time Jesus speaks this love language to Mary. After this, Mary does an act of service, her second love language. She washes Jesus' feet and anoints his feet with very expensive perfume.
Judas, why are you doing that? Turkey.
Jesus said, I let it be so. She's preparing me for my burial. Then after Jesus is crucified, it's the same Mary with the other women that's going to the tomb. And when they find the stone rolled away, they leave. Mary may have gone with him or stayed, we don't know. But we know Peter and John come running. They go in There's the empty tomb. They leave. And there's Mary in the garden, in the cool of the day, alone. But she isn't alone, is she? Who comes to her? Jesus, in her tears. She looks up and says to the gardener, who she thinks he is, "If you've taken the body, let me know. I'll come and get him." And there's that word, Mary. Can you imagine being alone and hearing Mary? And we know it's the same Mary because she looks up and says, "Rabbi Oni, the teacher." Remember Mary, Martha? Mary's at the feet being taught, listening to his teaching. And he says to her, "Don't cling to me. Go tell the disciples I have risen." And she goes and tells the disciples. There was a man in 1912 who was thinking about Mary. And you might say her gift of quality time with Jesus. And while he was alone, spending quality time meditating on God's word, he got an inspiration. And he got out a pen. And he got out a piece of paper. And he wrote a poem in 1912. Alone with God. Now you may not know the poem in its totality, but there's parts of this poem you know by heart. Listen to the words of the poem. "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, in the cool of the day," you might say. "And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Now finish the poem with me. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Wow. You know the poem about Mary. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? The Father in heaven, as different as the language of an eagle is to a turkey, is as different as our love language amongst the people here in this room. Help us, Lord, not to get mad, but to step back and maybe understand somebody else's love language. We thank you for Martha and Mary and what they teach us from the words of Jesus. We thank you that we have a God that speaks words of affirmation, a love letter called the Bible to us, but a God who spends time with us. The day we were baptized, you said to each and every one of us, I am with you always to the end of the age. And someday, you promise to come and take us to be where you are forever. Talk about quality, time of everlasting. Help us this morning to love you by loving others. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.